Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
First Samuel chapter 27, a couple of verses of scripture here in chapter 27, then we're going to move over to chapter 30 for just a few verses. In this chapter, just for quick information, verse 5 and verse 6. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave David Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. Just so you know, Ziklag was David's city. It was given to him and to the men that followed him. It belonged to him. Then in chapter 30, starting in verse 1, at this point, David had been away from Ziklag because they were going out to battle. They thought they were going to fight with Achish and the Philistine army, not against, but with them. But the lords of the Philistines were afraid that David would change his mind in the middle of battle and turn on them, so they were benching the best team and sending them back to their city. So David and his men are coming back now. It says in verse 1, when they came back to Ziklag on the third day, they found that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag, and they burned it with fire. Took what belonged to him and burned it up. They had taken the women captive that were therein. They didn't kill anybody. Not great or small, but they carried them all away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, sounds like a bad cough, don't it? And Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Is it worth it? Is it worth it, Lord? Everything's gone. They've taken them. Should I just start over? Should I just give up, throw in the towel? Or should I pursue after this? Is it worth going after? Will I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail you shall recover all. So for a few moments today, I want to talk to you with this thought, out of the ashes, out of the ashes. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for all that you do for us. And Lord, today we're so thankful that you are always mindful of us, always have an answer for us. I pray that we'll trust you and trust your word today. We love you, God. We praise you today. Bless us now to hear what the Spirit would say in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Give a big hand clap and shout to God this morning. Aren't you thankful that God's got your back? God's got an answer. You can be seated. This morning, thank you for being in the house of the Lord. This could be titled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? It could be, why me? You know, but I would remind you of something when you read stories like this, that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Many times we focus that on the calling because people, we kind of direct that toward people who are struggling or maybe prodigals, but there are gifts, things that are given. And Ziklag was given to David. He was on the run, but he needed a place to stay. And this city, this town was given to him and to his men, to his families, and it was his. And David was not there because he wanted to be there. He was there because actually to honor his loyalty to Saul, he did not want to fight Saul. He did not want to harm Saul. He did not want to kill Saul. But the only answer was, I've got to run because Saul wants to kill me. And so I've got to go and do the right thing. And he's got his people with him. And he's simply trying to do and fulfill what God has done in his life. And if you just look back at David's story, you will find and remember that as a boy, David was called from the fields to be anointed the king of Israel. The Bible says that David, the Lord said, I have found a man after my own heart. And we could read through David's story and see that he goes out one day and he defeats the Philistines' champion Goliath and becomes a victorious leader in Israel's army. They begin to sing songs that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. But even with this, all the accolade that he had, the way that he came in, it said he behaved wisely and he grew to be loved by the people. But Saul's jealousy Saul couldn't take it. He said, the only thing left now, he said, they ascribed to him 10,000s of victories, but now to me, just thousands. So the only thing left is the kingdom. And he began to eye David differently from that day. So David just desires to serve Saul and be faithful in the kingdom. He knows that God has put a call on his life, but he is patiently waiting for God to do what he's going to do. But he was despised by Saul, and in his jealousy, Saul tries multiple times to kill David, throwing javelins at David to pin him to the wall. Becomes obsessed with killing David and begins to pursue David. So David flees his home. He leaves his wife, Michal, that was given to him because of his victory over Goliath. He leaves his best friend, Jonathan, and goes on to run, finds himself in Gath, where Goliath was from. And now he's got this home, this town. It is a home away from home. And I'm sure David would wonder, why and how has my life turned out like this? I've only tried to do what's right. I was just minding my business. I was loving the Lord, watching the sheep. The prophet called me to the house. I didn't ask to be there. He poured the oil on my head, said I was anointed to be the king of Israel. He said, and sent me right back out to the sheep. He said, every day has been the same. I'm just trying to do my best. You know, I just stood up against Goliath because nobody else would. I knew God was on my side. I'm just trying to show people God can do anything. And now here I am. The enemy won't even let me fight with them, and now my town is burned, reduced to ashes. My wife, my children, my loved ones are all gone, and now the people hate me, and they want to stone me. How did my life get here? That's enough to make people quit. That's enough to make people stop. But when you serve God, yeah, when you have a God who says, I'll never leave you or I'll never forsake you, when you have a God that has called you into a position, when you have a God that has anointed you and put his spirit upon you and you know that you're a man after God's heart, when you know that God is your king and you serve the king, victory can come out of the ashes. Whenever it looks like my life has been reduced to nothing but waste, I can't see anything that I love. You know, when David and his men get there, the houses are burned. I don't see my stuff. I don't see my house. I don't see my family. There's nobody to embrace, nobody to comfort me. They're all gone. Nothing that I love is in view. But God's still with me. And you can get upset and you can throw in the towel and you can quit, or you can remember that God can bring victory out of the ashes. Yeah, you ought to give him a hand clapping. I know this is Sunday school. That's a revival message. We need to be, listen, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Somebody needs to be reminded today that as we go through this life serving God, that sometimes bad things happen to good people. It's not always going to be on the mountaintop. Sometimes it'll be in the valley, but it'll never be without God. Yep. And as long as I've got God, I've got everything that I need for it to turn around. I've got everything that I need for it to get better. Hey, if he can bring Lazarus back from the dead, he can bring stuff back into my life. It doesn't mean it's over. It doesn't mean that I'm done. It doesn't mean that there was a mistake made in David's life by the prophet. He was going to be the king. But sometimes to get to the place that God wants us to get to, we're going to have to go through some trials and some tests. There's going to be some character building going on in your life. God's going to see, are you going to give up or hold on? Are you going to trust him or go your own way? I believe today that many of us could say, I've seen those ashes. I've been in those ashes. I've seen my life look like it was destroyed. It looked like everything was going wrong, but then something turned it around. I've been in a place where it was dark and I wasn't doing nothing but crying, but the scripture told me, don't worry, joy comes in the morning. The dawn is going to break. The sun's going to shine again. You're going to get up and lift your hands and lift your voice one more time. God did not call me to be defeated, but the Bible says, thanks be to God that gives us the victory. I've got the victory in him. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I'm glad today that I've got victory in the Lord. And friend, we think victory's got to always be where we come out unscathed, but sometimes you'll come through with the scars. You'll come through with the bruises. You'll come through. And Paul, at the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. But he would write and say, I was whipped and beat and stoned and left for dead. I was shipwrecked. I was hungry. I was cold. I was in peril. I was in nakedness, but I got here. And sometimes we're going to go through it, but friend, at the end, there's going to be a crown of glory. At the end, there's going to be a robe of white. At the end, there's going to be those faithful words, well done, my good and faithful servant. God will bring victory up out of the ashes. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The word says that we are more than conquerors through him. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. For me to accept defeat, for me to accept that falling is final, for me to accept that loss is just how it is, and that's the final answer. Friend, that's to say that what Jesus did on the cross isn't enough. That's to say what he's put inside of me isn't enough, or that it doesn't work for me. But we sing it all the time and we shout to it. My God is more than enough. He will supply all my need. He is my El Shaddai. Come on, somebody. Oh, it's got to be more than a song, but you got to get that in your lifestyle. That's got to be the way you walk. My God's more than enough. God's going to supply all my need according to his riches in glory. If I lose something, it just means God's making room for something else. Come on. It don't mean I've got to give up and throw in the towel. Oh, I lost that. And my life will never be the same. It'll never be the same if you don't let it. But if you'll let God bless you, he'll pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to contain. Oh, I tell you, lost with God is different than lost without God. When people don't have God and they lose things, man, they go off the rails. They go right along with it. They just give up. They surrender. They throw in the towel. They just quit. But when you've got God, you know you've got what you need. And when I can remember that as long as I've got him, I can keep going. As long as I've got him, I'm going to get a word. He's going to speak something into my life. I can still, in the middle of my struggle, Listen, in the middle of my loss, in the middle of my sickness, in the middle of my trial, in my test, in my heartache, friend, it doesn't matter how bad I've been wounded, I can still do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My strength doesn't come from my flesh and blood. My strength doesn't come from my knowledge. It does not come from my heart or my muscles. It comes from the Lord. And when God gives you strength, He'll get you up one more time when you feel like you didn't have another time to go. He'll give you that last breath of hope again. He'll pick you up. You feel like, man, I'm always at the end of my rope. Well, the end of the rope's enough with God. I don't need the whole length as long as I got Him. It can be the end of the rope. It don't matter. God's going to get me through. It doesn't matter if the bridge is out. God will get you over. It doesn't matter if it's a dead end. God will tunnel through. Let me tell you, God will get you there. And even when it just looks like a pile of ashes, there's still victory about to come out of the ashes. It can look so bad. It can look so desolate that all you can do is cry. And buddy, they cried. It said they wept. They lifted up their voices and they wept and said until they had no more power to weep. They had cried till they could cry no more. And it's all right. Go ahead. Cry. Get that cry. Just get it. You know, sometimes you need to just cry till you can't cry no more. Because then you'll start to say, well, now what do I do? The Bible tells me in Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, there's a time to weep. I don't know how sometimes the time's longer, sometimes it's shorter, but it ain't for eternity. Sometimes there's a time to weep, but there's a time to laugh. He said, there's a time to mourn and to grieve things, but then there's a time to dance. You can't just stay where the sadness is at. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. We need to be, sometimes we got to figure out, okay, I've been here, I've cried, but the crying, it's about time for the crying to stop. I've been mourning, I've been grieving this loss, but it's about time to stop grieving. And it's time to get busy living. It's time to get busy doing what God called me to do. Just because everything's gone, David, doesn't mean that you forgot you've got a God. Just because everything's missing doesn't mean that you're not still the most formidable army on the planet at that time. Nobody could beat David and his men. Nobody, because God was on their side. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? And so even when it looks like, I don't know, I don't see no supply. I don't see nobody to send us out. You know, they would go out to battle and the women and they would send them out singing songs to them. And there's nobody here to send us out but God. And sometimes that's what you need to remember, that as long as God is sending me on my way, it's going to be victorious. God knows what He's doing in my life. And I know they were sad and they were upset, and it can be very stressful. It was so stressful that David, the king, was greatly distressed. It said in verse 6, because the people spake of stoning him. They wanted to kill their king. You can't let your situation get you so upset that you kill the king in your life. That's what ought to happen. Your situation ought to push you into what David did, because it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Honey, you want to get through it, you start remembering what God has done. One man said, I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to remember all the times that God has provided, all the times that God has come through. I'm not going to let this situation, how bad it is, cause me to kill the king in my life. I need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I can't kill him, but I can kill him in my life. He was the anointed one, and they want to stone the anointed one. Don't kill the anointing.
Don't kill the king, but start seeking God for the answer. You've got to trust that God will come through, that God knew what he was doing when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He knew what he was doing when he placed you in that role, in that position, in that place. He knew what he was doing when he gave you that gift. He knew what he was doing when he washed away that sin and filled you with his spirit. Encourage yourself in the Lord. You can know that God does not make mistakes. You know that God, listen, you didn't give yourself the Holy Ghost. You didn't wash away your own sin. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, is the one who did that. And he don't make mistakes. And he doesn't tease us or tempt us with evil. And he doesn't try to set us up only to knock us down. But God is always picking us up, always leading us on the way, always trying to get us to where we need to be. And what I need to do is as David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And you got to remember today that Jesus is your God. The Bible says his name is a name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and confess that he is Lord. And there is nothing according to the scripture too hard or impossible or out of reach for the Lord. God can do anything. And when I get down, I remember that God will get me back up. When I fall on my face, I remember it's the hand of the Lord stretched out to pick me up. When I feel like I'm just sinking beneath the waves of the storm, I can reach out my hand and know that the hand of the Savior is close by. God can bring victory out of the ashes. In John 10:10, he said, there is a thief in this world that comes. He has one job, to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to wear out the saints of the Most High. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What was he telling you and I? That even when things have been stolen out of our life, you can still live. Even when the enemy thinks he's killed you, you can still live. And he may destroy everything that you've built up, but you can still live. And I'm not talking about just scraping by. He said you can have life and life more abundantly. When there's nothing left but misery, nothing left but heartache and hurts, nothing but confusion and questions, when there's nothing left but ashes, you've got to know that God can bring you out, that God can make a way, that God's got an answer for the ashes. God's got an answer for the ashes. Praise God. David, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake them? Sometimes we wonder, is it worth it? Doing it one more time, getting up and going again. Honey, heaven's going to be worth it all. Get up and go. Don't ever throw in the towel, because heaven will be worth it all. Praise God. One of my favorite scriptures, I read this so much, I think I could preach this scripture in just about every message that I ever preach, but it's from Isaiah 61. And the Lord, when he was on this earth, he read this to them in the synagogue, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. For what? For ashes. Give me beauty for ashes. It's nothing left. It's the residue. The ashes, there's nothing left. You can't live. You have a house that's reduced to ashes. A house you used to live in. A house you used to eat in. A house you had your family. But you can't eat and live in the ashes. It's not. It don't look the same. It's gone. It's been reduced to nothing. But God said, out of that, something beautiful. I can bring beauty out of the ashes. Oh, I'll tell you, he can bring beauty out of places where you don't even know that it's there. I several months back, during that hot, stinking summer, I know it's still hot in November, but during this hot summer, I was here one day. I think I was going back, trying to keep those plants alive because they were baking and cooking. I wouldn't let her drag the hose no more. I said, you're going to be a mama. Quit dragging that hose around. I'll come over here and water these plants. And one day I was walking across the parking lot. I was pulling that hose across there. I'm walking across that hot, nasty, stinking, beat up parking lot that we got. And I looked down, and out of the gravel, there was a little purple flower. And I looked all around at that just black, hot, scorching, hot asphalt. And there was this little purple flower. It wasn't wilted. It was little. I've got a picture of it on my phone. I said, I'll save that one day. I'll probably preach about it. And so I took a picture of it. And you think, well, you see those beautiful flowers in gardens. You see them in people's potted plants and hanging plants. And no, it was right in the middle. When you zoomed in real close, all you could see was the flower. But when I backed up, then you could just see that gravel and that grit and grime and a few weeds spotted here and there. And I think it's so hot, it's so nasty. And you can't, how? Because God can make things grow. The flower was from God. The parking lot was from man. And no matter how man tries to cover up the work of God, somehow it'll find its way through. Somehow, and the Bible says that we're the planting of the Lord. And no matter how the world tries to put us down and push us down and make it just pave over us, but somehow over time, it took a while for a place, and that little old flower made its way. And it was there for somebody to see and to look and to be inspired. And I didn't just think, oh, what a pretty flower, but I thought, what a God. What a God that no matter how many layers they put on it, no matter how many times, no matter how hot it is and how dry it's been, we ain't had any rain, and there it is, perfect. Don't you give up. It feels like it's just weighing down on top of them. It's all right. God will push you through because God will give you strength. And I'm telling you today that God sees where you're at, and He knows when it looks desolate. He knows when it looks like there's nothing that can be there. But I'm telling you today that God is able. God can do it and bring victory up out of the ashes. So He said, I'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God might be glorified. Let me tell you, sometimes we feel like we're just on one side of that list. I've got the ashes, I've got the heaviness, I've got the mourning, I've got the prison, I've got all the misery. But let me tell you, God don't leave you. He's got a good exchange program. Something beautiful's coming. You got to believe the preaching. You got to believe all the proclaiming. You got to hear what is being said. Victory is going to rise up out of the ashes. Patience. Be patient. The writer in the New Testament said, "You have heard of the patience of Job." Well, Job was a man who was upright and perfect and hated evil and loved God. And he got in a fight for his life and a fight for his faith. He lost it all. Great loss. Everything. He didn't ask for it. Why is this happening to me? Why do bad things happen to good people? He didn't beg for this or bargain for this. This was just, I'm living my life, and one day they start coming one by one to tell me how much I have lost. People, things, his health, his wife siding against him. You still cleave to your integrity. You still holding on. Why don't you curse God and die? But do you know where he was at? When you read the book of Job, you know where Job's at? He's sitting in the ashes. In Job chapter 2 and verse number 8, it'll tell you where Job was. He took a potsherd to scrape himself, and he sat down among the ashes. The ashes of his life, the ashes of his faith, the ashes of everything that was going on. But it was out of the ashes that Job said some very inspiring things. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I cannot perceive him, but he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall be gold. These were the statements that Job would make from the ashes, in the loss, in the heartache, but he still had a God. The scripture says that Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that Job would not sin with his mouth. He did not charge God foolishly and say, look what you've done to me. But he looked at his life and said, oh, the things you have done for me. And it's given me such a confidence that I could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, let me tell you, and that's why you'll read Job 42 and 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and a bunch of donkeys. Listen, God is for you. And no matter what you're facing and what you're going through, it doesn't always mean, well, you've done something wrong. We're the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. But that means that they come against us. They just don't win. No weapon formed shall prosper. Doesn't mean there's not a weapon. It just doesn't prosper. When I fall, I shall arise. Doesn't mean I'll never fall. It just means I get back up. You've got to understand that the church is an army. We are soldiers in the army. And we have to, I read this Wednesday night, we must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we're going to go through some things, but we endure because we know he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. We know that God has got our back and that victory is waiting for us at the end. Just keep fighting. Just keep believing. Oh, I tell you, it makes me think of that song, Keep Believing. Just keep believing. Keep trusting God. God's going to come through. And when you go back and think about David, his time in the ashes, his time that he was crying and weeping till he wept till he couldn't weep anymore. And man, I tell you, it was a tough, tough time for David. A young man, anointed king. This is not how I pictured my journey to the palace. This is not how I pictured ruling God's people, running from cave to cave and from place to place, or living in the land of the enemy. His time in the ashes, the weeping, the stress, it pushed him to seek God in prayer. He wanted to know, what shall I do? And so he said, Abathar, he said, you bring me the ephod. He said, I'm not getting a towel to throw in. I'm going to get the ephod to pray with. I don't want a towel to throw in and say I quit, but I want to seek God. And he began to seek, Lord, what shall I do? And shall I pursue? And just let me read it again. God answers, yes, pursue, for you will surely overtake them. And without fail, you will recover it all. And let me tell you, God is true, and every man's a liar. But God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. And when you jump over to verse 18, it says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. There was nothing, not one thing, great or small, nothing was lacking to them. Everything that they had taken of David's, he got it back. He got it. There was nothing lacking, neither small, great, sons, daughters, or neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before the other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. He didn't just get back his stuff, but he got the spoil. He got the reward. He got the blessing. The Lord said, sometimes God won't even tell you what else you're going to get. You'll get back what's missing, but you're going to get it with interest. because God rewards the faithful doer. The scripture says he does. God rewards the faithful doer. And David went just to get his wife and his children, his things, get their stuff. But he said, hey, look at all this other stuff that's ours now because God has given us the victory. Yeah, come on. David left the ashes behind. Sometimes you gotta just leave it behind. You gotta quit hanging out in the pit of despair. You gotta get out of that little pit of ashes that you've been in so long, and you got to remember this is not what God called me to be. This is only a moment in time, but it's time for me to get up and start praising again. It's time for me to get up and start praying again. It's time for me to get up and start worshiping again and be what God called me to be, because the ashes don't erase what God called you to do. Sometimes we burn our own life down. Come on. Might as well be, somebody ought to say amen. You might as well do it. Sometimes we burn our own life down. Bad choices, stupid things, mistakes, and we end up creating the chaos that brings us to ashes. But even that, the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Happens to us all. Happens to the best of us. Happens to the most anointed of us. Come on. We're not perfect yet. We haven't ascended yet. We haven't attained yet. We're still trying to get there. And as long as we're in this flesh, we'll be fighting. And sometimes we'll lose a round or two. But that ain't the end of the bell. Ain't rung yet. The trumpet ain't sounded yet. And I'm going to keep getting up. And I'm going to keep believing I'm going to win. Let me tell you this. You might lose a round. If any of you follow boxing, you know, they go by points. You might lose a round, but you're ahead in points. You know what I'm saying? With Jesus, you're never the loser. You're always ahead. You might get knocked down, but you're still ahead. A man that has won 10 rounds, he gets knocked down in the 11th. He's still ahead in points because he's won it. Listen, you've got more victory than you've got loss. Don't focus on the loss. Don't get focused on the things that are trying to turn you away, but focus on the Lord. You got to trust Him. So what does David do with it? He just brings more beauty to others. Verse 26 says, when David gets back to Ziklag, he sent of the spoil, the things that God gave him extra. He didn't just hoard that and say, look, I'm just going to be greedy now. He said, he sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends. And he said, behold, a present for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. He blessed other people. What you're going through is going to be a blessing for somebody else. That beauty that you get out of the ashes, that victory that comes out of those ashes, it's going to be a blessing for somebody else. They're going to see, this is what God does to his enemies, and this is how God rewards his people. He's faithful to them, and that might just give them strength to get up out of their ashes and go on. In mythology, there's a bird called the phoenix, and at a certain time it will, of its life, it goes and builds a nest and I guess engulfs itself in fire, burns up, but out of the ashes of that, a new phoenix, beautiful and full of color, arises. And while that's neat, that's a myth. It don't really happen. But God is real. And God is true. And God's people come up out of the ashes. God has beauty for your ashes today. Let's stand together this morning. There's a promise that God has. And just think those wonderful words, pursue, overtake, recover. Words that never are heard, never brought to fruition, never realized if David doesn't seek the Lord. the lesson is this, is that you don't stop seeking God. You don't get frustrated with God. So, well, God, I've been serving you, and look where I'm at. David was serving God. Look where he was at. But he said, you don't stop serving God because of the ashes. That's when you start seeking the God, really looking for God. You know, the problem is when things are going smooth, we start trusting in ourselves. All these men that followed David trusted him. Oh, they would do anything for him. Oh, they that's why they stayed with him. And instead of staying with Saul, they were with him. They trusted him. They loved him. But boy, lose my stuff, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stone you. I can't believe you have led us here. We left Israel and followed you, and look where we ended up. And that's what happens when you got so many victories. Sometimes you start trusting in yourself. But David said, you know what? Not this time. At the beginning of his flight, you know what he looked for? A sword. When he got ready to flee Israel and to go on the run, he went to the priest and he said, do you have a sword? He said, the only sword I got is the sword of Goliath, the man you killed. And he said, there ain't another sword like it. He said, here, take that. And so David said, my own victories will be my protection. It's easy to get caught up in and think, man, look what I've done, look what I've done. But this time, when he lost everything, he didn't say, get the sword and just take off. He said, before I pick up a sword, before I go to battle, before I try to do this on my own, bring me the ephod. I got to pray. I got to talk to God. I got to hear from the Lord. And he got down and began to pray, and he saw that David, that he had cried and cried, that he had wept and wept, and he was hurt, he was broken, but yet he still sought me. And he said, so David, pursue, overtake, recover. And it happened just like God said. And God brought victory out of the ashes. The place where they had been weeping, now they were rejoicing. The city wasn't built back overnight when they got home. When they got home, it was still a pile of ashes. But they said, but look what God did in spite of all that. And they rejoiced, and they feasted, and they had their loved ones. And they said, even if we don't have this town, we still got God. And look what God has done. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord this morning. Looks like your life's been burnt to the ground. Oh, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God is ready to speak, and that God's ready to give you a word of promise. If you'll hear what the Spirit is saying through the word this morning, you're going to understand some things. That God didn't make a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. David wasn't where he wanted to be, but God was still with him. Hallelujah. You hang in there, God's going to come through. It's not over. It's not done yet. God's still working. Don't kill the king. Don't stone the king. Don't kill the anointing in your life. Don't kill your covering in your life. God's got you. God's watching you. God sees every tear. Hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh. Hallelujah. Don't pick that sword up too quick. It's easy to start lashing out when you got a weapon in your hand, but just listen for the voice, that still, small voice, that voice of reason. Hallelujah. That voice of direction. The Lord would tell his people in one place. He said, even a nursing mother may forget her child. They might forsake their child. But I have not forgotten you. The relationship you have with God, it transcends every other relationship. It's different than every other relationship you have in your life. That's why it's so valuable, so priceless, why you've got to guard it and keep it. Because the ashes are coming. You hear what I'm saying? The ashes are coming. It may already be, but God is still God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's the Lord, and He does not change. And what He did then, He will do now. He still saves His anointed. He still delivers His people. And the promise is still true that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hear this word from the Lord today. Pursue it. Overtake it. Recover it. That's my favorite one. Recovery. Recovery. You know, when you recover, you get better. When you recover, you come back. When you recover, you can get back to doing the things that you used to do. You break a leg, you got to recover. But once you recover, you can start walking again. You can start running again. And maybe you feel like you've been broken spiritually, but you're about to recover. And that prayer life is going to come back. And those dreams are going to come back. And that anointing is going to start flowing again. It's going to happen. Recovery. Recover some of it. No, recover it all. Oh, it won't ever be like it was. It may not ever be like it was, but it can be new. The Bible says He makes all things new. And He said, all. In other words, there'll be no lack. There'll be no lack. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Give Him a hand clap and a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let us receive that word in good ground today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just like that flower growing in the parking lot. Lord, let us see that potential. Let us see that beauty. Let us see in the middle of all that ugly, bring something beautiful in our life, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.